Peace and blessings, everybody. Peace and blessings, everybody. PA Big Rob, and it's Monday afternoon. It's a beautiful day in Muskegon, where it's 85 degrees. A beautiful day in Orlando, Florida, where I'm at, where it's 87 degrees. 1,000 miles apart, only 2 degrees difference. So, hey, it is what it is. Hope you
2 degrees of separation.
There you go, 2 degrees of separation. So, coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking to the chief of police from the city of Muskegon. Chief Colzell joins the conversation, giving us an update on some of the shootings that have occurred in the city of Muskegon over the past couple weeks. But right now, we got some VIPs in the building. I got to bring in the young sister, Jocelyn Hines, our baby sister.
Hi, everybody.
How you doing, Josh? Gotta keep saying baby, Rob.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
You know what I want to say, but we're on a public setting, so I can't say it in public. Look at her laughing. She know what I'm talking about.
Josh got fans in Africa, and she know what I'm talking about. She got a fan
club. She know what you're talking about, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, Josh, this weekend, the Deltas are having a social luncheon, I believe. Can you tell us about your esteemed guest that we're about to bring on the screen?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you all for allowing us to come on here and talk about our social action luncheon that we'll be hosting Saturday, September 21st at MCC at 11, starting at 11 a.m. And the theme is Power of One Voice Impacting Change. And we're so blessed and honored to have our presidential appointee, Zanetta Adams, joining us as our guest speaker for this event. So we're really happy to have her, hailing from Washington, D.C., representing our community. She's going to be speaking about how impactful just one simple voice can be in this very contentious election season that we're under. So, yeah, we're happy to have Zanetta.
All right. We're going to bring her in. Miss Zanetta Adams, how you doing there, ma'am?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Now, for people who don't know, are you originally from Muskegon?
So originally, I'm not from Muskegon, but I live in Muskegon. My family's still in Muskegon, and I work in D.C. now. So it's a multiverse traveling, I guess.
You claim Muskegon partly then, a little bit, right?
That's my home. It's where I built a home. It's where we live, where my kids have gone to school. So, yeah.
Well, you from Muskegon then. I'm with you.
Yeah,
then.
My son was a big red, so.
It's all good. I think you're an attorney by trade, right?
I am. I worked at Williams Hughes Law Firm in Muskegon for quite a while, started a nonprofit in Muskegon for women veterans. So yeah, Muskegon's my home.
You served in the military?
I did. 8 years in the U.S. Army, and then I was medically discharged in 2006.
Wow. Well, thank you for your service. Thank you. What are you going to be talking about this weekend?
So really, you know, Jocelyn, kind of mentioned it a little bit, but about social action, what we need to do, why we need to do it. I think it's so important that not only our youth, but that we're reminded of the importance of voting. And I know that, you know, we're in, it seems like the last several years we've been in contentious election seasons. And some people are just kind of tired. They're fed up. They don't want to go to the polls necessarily, but to talk about the importance of engaging in our civic duty, because it is a duty. I'll be talking about that. I'll be talking about how some of the laws across the country are changing. And if we continue to sit around and not do anything, then we could lose that right that so many of our ancestors fought for, bled for, died for. And so I really want to kind of put in perspective what that's about and what we're facing, some of the things that we may not know.
So it's important we get out there and take action.
It is absolutely critical that we do.
Right. Jocelyn, now you can participate in asking her questions too. You can be our co-host because we got a bunch of testosterone up in here. So along with my sister Adam's an estrogen, but me and Big Rob, it's all me and him all the time. So if you want to ask my sister Adams a question, our dear beloved, you can do that. You know? Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why we're excited to have Zanetta as our speaker is that understanding that is an event that was sponsored by Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, but also knowing that Zanetta represents Alpha Kappa Alpha and understanding that, you know, a lot of Divine Nine and Greek life is about civic engagement and how we can all participate. And, you know, knowing we're separated by colors, we're unified by, you know, our purpose and mobilizing and educating our different communities, our same communities, actually. So I don't know if Zanetta kind of wants to speak about, you know, that aspect of the work that you all are doing on that front.
No, that's a great point, Jocelyn. You know, we all have the same mission, right? And that's to elevate, encourage, motivate our Black community as a Divine Nine organizations. And so that's something we come together on, and that's something we have to be unified on. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no room for division there. I was just at a National Panhellenic Council President's Gala, where the president and vice president of the National Panhellenic Council took over here during, I'm in DC right now, during the Congressional Black Caucus events that were going on. And just to see everybody together, all different colors, shades, coming together under one voice, knowing that we have to coalesce around, and it's not just about voting. We have to coalesce around making sure that our youth are getting everything that they need, making sure that we are building entrepreneurs, and that we are helping to advocate for better education for our youth and our children. I mean, I see what you all are doing in Kenya and with taking children and kids to HBCUs. That's important, and we need to do more of that. So being able to talk about how we can all come together and put aside any differences we may have is something that I plan on touching on as well.
Rob, you got any questions for Ms. Adams?
Power of One Voice, Impact and Change, that's your subject. How do you plan on telling people to, without giving all the goods away, impact change? Is it just by voting nationally or locally?
No, I think it's all of it. It's about understanding who you're voting for and why you're voting. It's from as what people think about voting for judges. I mean, a lot of times we don't even know who our judges are, what they represent, what they voted on, what they've decided on, if they've been judges before, where they stand. And so understanding all of those things and being better educated. To me, there is no reason why we can't be educated with all of the tools and resources we have out there. Now, I will say, TikTok is not your source of information.
Say that again. Say that again.
Like, we need to do more fact checking and finding out information. And so there's no reason why, even on your way to the polls, that you can't look up and know about candidates before you make a decision. And it shouldn't be about, listen, I'm going to say this and maybe I'll make somebody mad. It shouldn't just be about party allegiance. It should be about the fact who is going to be doing the best for your community and not just for you, because I know we all look inward and say, okay, am I going to give them more money? That's what I've been hearing. This person gave me more money in a check and all these other things. But you have to look at the collective, because it's not just about you. You don't live in a world by yourself. And so who's going to make the most impact? Who's going to bring more money into Muskegon Heights community? Who's going to make sure that it's utilized properly? Who's going to make sure that your schools are getting the most education and the best teachers? Those are the types of things we need to be looking at, and we have all the tools at our fingertips. So it's not just going to be about voting in national elections, because that's every 4 years or every 2 years. It's about looking at and understanding who we're voting for to work in our communities, at our schools, as our trustees and universities and all of that.
Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, share, how did you get to become a presidential appointee? That's not easy. That's a lot of vetting going on. You got to have good credit. Got to have some money. You know, it's a lot going on. Can't have no blemishes in your past. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it was. I truly believe I'm one of those people who speaks about being your authentic self. And you know, when I was in the military, I fell off a deuce and a half with the rails up, which is about a 10 to 11 foot fall from a truck. And I severely injured my back, and I was in a wheelchair. I was told I'd never walk again. And I went through a devastating period. And so I had not finished school yet. I had not finished my undergrad. And I started fighting to get my benefits from the VA. And I decided I wanted to go back to school to help veterans. And so I went back to school. got my bachelor's in psychology, then got my my law degree, and started helping veterans. That was my specialty practice when I was in Muskegon working, and I started a nonprofit for women veterans. And then from there, I had a brief conversation with the governor. I got involved with the Black Women's Political Caucus. I started, you know, just kind of doing things, helping out with the fundraiser for scholarships. And I had a conversation with the governor. And I'll say the first thing is that don't be afraid to speak up. And so I asked her, I said, this, you know, the Democrats aren't known for helping veterans. What are you going to do to help veterans? And she's like, I'd love to talk to you to find out. And that kind of started my path to become a gubernatorial appointee. And I became the first woman in that position, the first person of color in that position, and the first woman veteran to ever serve on a cabinet in this state's history, by asking a question and then advocating and then having support systems around you that will help elevate you. And from there, I just did work that I was passionate about. And I received a call from the White House. They actually called me on three different occasions to offer me an opportunity to come work. And third time was a charm. And I said, yes. So
you didn't ask when Trump called. You didn't reply when Trump people called.
No comment.
Are these positions political? Like, are you there? They are political.
Yeah. So when the administration changes over, if it changes over, then, you know, I won't have this position.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a risk. Okay. But you got time. You got a lot of experience.
I do. And no risk, no reward, right? I have the opportunity. I mean, I'm in a position where I can impact policy. I can impact national change. I can make sure that all the resources that I'm learning about and coming in contact with come back to Michigan, come back to help our veterans in Muskegon. And I can share that knowledge. So it's a great, great opportunity. I don't take it for granted. And I am so honored and blessed to be able to come back home and hang out with my friends and my sisters in this venue on Saturday. So
go ahead, Sister Hines. I'll let you ask the next question.
Yeah. So we often hear people say, and I don't want to get too deep into your speech, but what would you say to people who says their vote don't matter, that their votes don't matter, that they don't go to the polls because they don't feel like it matters?
I maybe I'll go into detail of this on Saturday, but I will say your vote absolutely matters. When I was working in Muskegon as an attorney, we represented the county and a few municipalities. And on one occasion, there was a vote recount in a community where I was the attorney helping to oversee that vote recount. And it was for a resolution that would bring money into the school. And the vote as it stood was one vote away from saying no, or one or two, it might have been one or two. Hmm. Well, after we were done with the vote recount, the vote changed by one vote. Hmm. So one vote, your vote matters. You may think that it doesn't matter. You may think that, but for one thing, it matters to you because you know you've done something. And I would say that civic engagement, there's some people who go as far as putting bumper stickers or signs out in there or posting things on social media, but there's some people who don't do that. But your civic engagement is putting your pen to paper and saying, these are the things that are important to me, and putting that vote out there. So even if you don't get the outcome that you hoped for, you know, and I'll give you kind of, I love analogies. I'll give you an analogy. When I used to be a 911 dispatcher way back in the day after I got out of the military, I had people that would call me and say, my husband, he's not moving, he's not breathing, and he's cold. And I would walk them through how to do CPR. I already knew that they had passed away. But the fact of the matter is that by the time everything was all said and done, they felt like they had done something. They felt like they had tried. And so that's the thing about it. You feel better about yourself too when you go out and you vote and you put your beliefs in that voting booth. And so that's why it's important.
Big Rob.
Oh, well, y'all doing just a fine job.
We need an intelligent question from you, sir. You help us out on this interview.
I am not that intelligent, but I will ask Sister Zanita, where your passion comes from.
You know, this is, it's Suicide Prevention Month. that we celebrate for the VA and all across the country. And my passion in the work that I do really do comes from the fact that at one point I had decided I didn't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that, and I'll say that there have been instances where when I was put on orders to go to Iraq, my section, or there were 10 of us, my section of 9 that went over to Iraq all died in a roadside bombing. So I feel like I was given this opportunity and my life was spared for a purpose. And I have to make use of that purpose every chance I get. And so when there's an opportunity to speak, to empower, to engage, to listen, to learn, I'm going to take those opportunities. And so my passion comes from within. It comes from my experience. It comes from some of it having 6 children. Yes, I said that. 2 sets of twins I have. So that's how you get to 6 real quick.
Real quick.
Congratulations. You hit the jackpot.
That's how you get broke too, but but you know, I have to be an example to them. My husband and I have to be strong examples. We have to show them that entrepreneurship is possible. We have to show them that anything's possible if you put your mind to it and don't take no for an answer. And so that passion comes from within. It comes from experience, and it comes from the fact that I have to be who I am in order for my children to be who they are. So,
wow, that's dope. Questions about reparations. I mean, we got to talk. I mean, everybody I interview, it was on the list to interview when I interviewed President Biden, but I just didn't have enough time. So how do Blacks get reparations? What do we need to do?
You know,
that it don't have to be checked. However, you know, what we need to do, is it possible in America?
That's a great question. And I would say, I think it's possible, but it's going to take, you know, one of the things I learned when I was doing some, did some work with the Civil Rights Department in Michigan. We did a training for staff. And I remember one of the things I learned is that change for the minority usually comes from the majority stepping in and pushing for that change. I mean, if you think about it, civil rights, it wasn't a Black president who signed that into law. It was a white president. Even though we were pushing for it, it took that person. If you think about women's rights, it wasn't a white woman who signed it into law. It was a white male, the person who had the dominance. And so we have to continue to push for allies. I was in the play Anne and Emmett last year, and it was about Anne Frank and Emmett Till. And part of that play talked about how those folks, the Jews, were able to get reparations, and how they calculated and how they were able to do that for what happened to them, but yet we're not able to do that. I'm sure it's possible. I know it's possible. It's just people have to come together to, one, see that there's a reason for it. And we all know, like, you know, those descendants of slaves, we know that when people say pull yourself up by your bootstraps, I need to have the bootstraps to pull myself up with, you know, so you can't continue to deny or say, you know, I have access to a VA home loan, you know, back in World War II, I fought, served for this, but you can't get it. Or you can only get it in spaces where you can get a loan. But yet the Black community that you put me in, you can't get a loan. You can't continue to look at those things and then say, well, why aren't you doing more when we didn't get that in the first place? So I think that it's possible. I think that it should be awarded. I mean, there has to be a lot of work that goes into who gets it and who doesn't. But at the end of the day, it's more than just an apology. It's giving those bootstraps that people talk about to be able to pull yourself up with.
Should we support candidates who have voted against the studying of reparations? I mean, you know, there's been people on both sides who have, I can say locally, our congressperson, Shelton, she's on board. She clearly supports reparation. I'm in Orlando, Florida. Maxwell Frost, I've interviewed him. He supports reparations. But there are some candidates on both sides of the aisle and Democrats who are not really supporting the study. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that's going to be an individual decision. If that's one issue within many, that's going to be a decision as to weighing what issues are most important to you in this space that they align with. But I will say, you always have to vote your conscience. You have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, is this going to be good? And again, as I talk about my children and my children's children and my children's children's children, you know, what is our generation going to look like? What are we leaving them? What is the legacy? What's the generational wealth? And so you have to be able to look at that. I can't tell you how to vote. I still, every election, I'm still looking at how I'm going to vote. But I think that that's going to be an individual decision, but it's one that you should take into account, just like you should look at a judge's records on incarceration or on programs that they have for reducing recidivism. I think it's the same concept.
Wow. You got anything, Jocelyn? Because I could talk all. I got so many questions. I don't want to. You good?
I think I'm good. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jocelyn.
I was just going to say I would be remiss if I didn't shout out our sponsors for this event. We're really happy to have Muskegon Community College as our change agent sponsor for this this event that's coming up this Saturday, and tickets are $60. We encourage you all to visit our Facebook page, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Inc., where you can find out more information on how to purchase tickets. So and if we're hoping you all come out and support. I think it's a really great time. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I was just going to say, if I can add that I am participating in this social action luncheon in my personal capacity. So while those are titles that I have, I just want to make sure that the opinions that I've shared today are not the opinions of the Department of the VA, of the president of the White House, anybody. These are my opinions. That's
exactly. Glad to get the disclaimer
out there. Yes.
Right. Big Rob.
Oh, I don't have anything. I'm just learning.
Right. I'm sure a lot of rooms that you're in, you're probably the only black female, might be the only female, only black person. How does that make you feel? And what do you do when you're in those situations?
You know, being in the military community as well, a lot of times I'm the only lower enlisted retired person too. A lot of the folks I work with are officers, and so it is. You know, it's no longer intimidating in the sense that I'm of the position that I need to be in the room, and if they don't have a seat at the table, I'm going to find one and pull a seat up, because the issues are important, the conversations are important, the things that we're doing are important. I mean, you know, it's what I'm actually going to be doing a TEDx talk on imposter syndrome soon. And it's really about putting down those things that define us and say that, who am I? What do I bring to the table? And I'm supposed to be here. And I'll just add one other thing that keeps me grounded is that I walk into these spaces knowing that I'm anointed and appointed for such a time as this. And so God has put me here, and I'll be here as long as He wants me to be here. And so nothing and no one can stop that. And so I use those places and those spaces to try to affect change. And I feel like even in the positions that I've been able to do that. And so I don't feel intimidated anymore. I used to feel intimidated walking into those rooms and feeling like, wow, are they going to listen to me? But I am blessed now to be in a position where many people have to listen to me. So
you met the president? Have you met the president?
I have not met the president yet. I've met the vice president. I've met the first lady. I haven't met the president yet.
Well, it's coming. Well, you will be when she wins. Okay. All right. I'm just joking. I just had to say that. I just had to put that out. All right. Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
Well, Jocelyn, you get the last say so here from the behalf of the Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of the Delta Sigma Theta Inc.
Yeah, so again, I hope you all will join us on Saturday, September 21st. The registration begins at 11 a.m. Tickets are $60. I see one of my sorors, thank you, put our event and ticket information in the Facebook chat, so you all can go directly there and figure out how to purchase tickets. If not, find any sorors. We're all over the place. You all should, you know, we hope to be active in the community where you can identify us and purchase tickets if and when you come to our event. We want to thank you. We hope this will encourage people to get out and practice that civic duty. We know people, our ancestors, have died for us to have this right to vote. So we hope people exercise their right to vote in this very, very important election.
Wait, and sign up to be a poll worker. You know, they pay you to do that. Sign up to be a poll. Just want to say that.
Yeah, that's a high risk one right now these days. But I agree with you. Need poll workers out here. But I've been hearing a bunch of crazy stuff about these polls that's going on. It might not be happening in D.C. where you at, but in Muskegon, these folks are they different.
Well, I'm born in Michigan, so
okay.
I don't know what to do here. So.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So yeah, we do need the workers, but just be prepared. There are some people who don't trust. All of a sudden, they don't trust the election process that's been working for years. All of a sudden, it's flawed. Yeah. I don't understand it. But thank you, everyone.
I understand it.
Yeah, we know.
I'm going to say less. So,
thank you, beautiful ones, for your time. Ms. Adams, Ms. Hines, thank you to the Deltas for what you're doing in the community. That video that you saw that we ran, at least two of those barrels was full of supplies from the Deltas. Wow. Those supplies reached the village in Ghana on Saturday. And I got so many messages of tears from the village, from the kids. You just don't know, Jocelyn, what you and the Deltas have done, have gave supplies to the females, to the girls who don't have enough female supplies, you know, to last at all. They don't have any. And y'all have taken care of them for at least 6 months. And so they won't miss any school. They won't be embarrassed. And I just want to tell you and the Deltas, thank you so much. All right.
Thank you all for the work that you do. And we hope to continue to support that effort.
All right. Going back to my music. God bless everybody. Back to my music.
Thank you.